Good afternoon. I would like to second the sentiment expressed by my colleagues. It's very, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for joining us for our discussion. I'm going to start with my second slide. I have no relationships to disclose, and then I'm going to go back to my first, because in my last minute haste to get this presentation prepared, I didn't really give a good overview slide of what the National Psoriasis Foundation is, who we serve, and why we do it. So let me do that now. So we are the largest nonprofit patient advocacy organization in the U.S. working on behalf of people with psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. Psoriasis is a genetic, chronic autoimmune disorder that causes the skin cells to replicate four times faster than in the average person. The NIH estimates that as many as 7.5 million people in the United States have psoriasis, and 30% of those approximately will go on to develop the disease in their joints as well. That's known as psoriatic arthritis. We do know that there is a genetic component to psoriasis, but the way that it's passed down in families is yet to be determined. So the way we serve these patients is through research, advocacy, and education programs. On the research front, we are currently developing the world's largest collection of psoriasis-related DNA, and when we have completed the collection of the DNA and the clinical histories, we'll be able to release those to researchers around the globe who are studying the genetics of this disease. Advocacy takes us to Capitol Hill. We have introduced the first ever legislation that's focused on psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. It's now a bipartisan bill, and that is due largely in part to very dedicated advocates across the country, patient advocates across the country. And our education programs take us into 41 different communities in the United States through educational support groups and education events, including one national patient conference. So, James and Vaughn and Alejandra talked a lot about the process of implementing this program with their communities, from customization to survey collection and evaluation. What I'd like to focus on is how, from a national organization perspective, we looked at defining our community and looked at marketing the message of family health history to this huge audience. So a little bit different perspective. So our community, we are a disease-specific organization, and we're a national organization. We have over a million unique hits to our, I'm sorry, my slides are on a weird timing that I didn't think was in there, so it might go back and forth. So we're a disease-specific national organization, and that means that we operate virtually across the country. So we have message boards that bring together thousands of people. People through the message boards form and maintain relationships with one another without ever meeting face to face. We have chat rooms where people, you know, maintain relationships. We have email listservs from every department going out every day. We have e-newsletters. We have tons of electronic ways of communicating with hundreds of thousands of patients. But if you look at some of our other programs, we can really be considered very community-based. We have, like I said, local foundation communities in over 40 markets in the United States. So our first challenge was to define who our community was. We went into this project with a very specific subgroup of our community in mind. We thought we would use our research volunteers because we knew they were engaged in research already. We assumed that they would be, you know, the most willing people to engage in this pilot testing of this project. But I don't know where it changed, but somewhere in the conversation, we started taking steps back and asking ourselves, well, why are we just choosing this one community within this huge community? So we kept taking steps back and back and back until we felt that we were encompassing community in the broadest sense of the word. Because really, the concept of community for our organization changes depending on who you're talking to. If you're talking to a constituent in San Diego, they think of the Psoriasis Foundation as the support group with 41 people and the Walk for Awareness program. If you're talking to somebody on the message board, they're thinking about the community based on, you know, the 200 people that they talk to online. So it depends who you're talking to, what you're gonna think of when you think of community and the Psoriasis Foundation. So we took 100 steps back until we were just thinking our community is people with psoriasis or people who care about somebody who has psoriasis. And then the next question that we asked was, how do we get the message out to all of them that family health history is important? and oh yeah, that we need help from 25 families. So the outreach we did, once we'd identified this huge 30-plus thousand community group, we looked at all of our virtual means of communication, and we decided that that was the most fair-handed, even way to get out the exact same message to as many people in our community as possible. And so the reason we were able to do this is that we have a very strong database that allows us to keep information about people, whether they're connected to us from a local organization or from one of our virtual means. So even if you're a San Diego support group member, we have your email at least, or we have some kind of way to get in touch with you electronically. So we were able to, using our database, reach out to everybody in basically the same virtual way, using the same virtual messaging. And we relied a lot on our staff members in the different departments so that we were sending out the same information but from different staff members for different reasons to different people. So, you know, people that were connected through advocacy, they were going to get the message from our advocacy manager. People that were involved on the message board, they were just going to see it as a message somewhere on the message board. So the next challenge was, so we did some initial outreach and tried to get families to sign up. And it didn't go as smoothly or as quickly as we thought it would. You know, when we were talking about a group as big as we were outreaching to, we really thought it would be a matter of days before we had more families than we could possibly accommodate with this project. But that was not the case. So what we did is we kind of took a step back and looked at the messaging. What were we saying in these emails and these message board postings? What were we saying about the project and why we wanted them involved? And one of the things about psoriasis is that it's non-discriminatory. It affects people of all ages, both sexes, all races, across the board. So the difficulty that presented to us, sorry again, is that there's no commonalities in environment, lifestyle, or religion. And those are all things that do, you know, play a part in family health history. So with that kind of difficult, we're just looking at the disease. We're just looking at a common basis of psoriasis. So we had to create a message that across the board kind of presented family health history as important to psoriasis. But like I already said, the genetic basis of psoriasis is not that strong. So if we say we want you to look at your family health histories to identify psoriasis in your family health history, not everybody's going to be able to do that and see it in their father, their grandpa, their aunt, or uncle. Many families would do their family health history and not see psoriasis anywhere because we don't know how it's passed on. We just know that it is somewhere. So we wanted to create a message that really made the message of family health history relevant. And so what we did, the timing worked out really well for us. We were able to make it relevant because there was new research. Thank you, James. There was new research that came out, you know, along the same timeline, that psoriasis patients, independent of all other factors, are at an increased risk of heart disease, obesity, diabetes, addiction, and depression. And so we were able to take this and craft a message around it that that stressed self-management of psoriasis and these other diseases. So what we were able to do is say, psoriasis may not appear in your family's health history, but you have psoriasis, which means you're at risk for these other diseases, which means you need to see if you're doubly at risk. So you already are at risk for heart disease, but then if Grandpa Joe also had it, you need to know that so you can take extra precautions and self-manage the risk that you have. So basically, we asked our patients to step outside their psoriasis box and kind of look at their overall health and how to manage that outside of the specific lens of psoriasis. And so using the toolkit with family members was one way for them to talk about, to incorporate psoriasis into the conversation, but also to take a step outside of psoriasis and look at their overall total body health, which is very important to controlling your psoriasis. But it was a different way for us to frame the message. So a couple of the challenges that we noticed early on, and that I don't know what the way around these is that with a national organization where you're kind of reaching out without a face behind the message, is just a, you know, a virtual communication that would come to people in their inbox or on a message board, is that it was difficult, first of all, to create a sense of urgency, to really communicate that we needed people to participate in this pilot project for one thing, but that the pilot project and what we were asking them to do was going to be very impactful and important to their own health. And so, you know, without somebody personally appealing to these people to participate or personally conveying the risks of psoriasis and what it could lead to, I think that message and that sense of urgency was very hard for us to communicate. And the other thing I think happened, this is totally a guess, but I think that, you know, if you get an email from a listserv and you're one of 500 people who gets this email, you kind of think there's 500 people getting this email. They only need 25 families. There's going to be people popping up all over. I don't need to take any action. So I think that people had the chance to feel anonymous and like they could not take action because somebody else would do it for them. So going forward, so actually in retrospect, what I would have done differently, I didn't speak about our community advisory board, but like all partners, we did have one, and they helped us customize our materials for the psoriasis-specific angle. But what I would do is that I involve them more in crafting the message around marketing the opportunity for families, asking them how to get families interested in this issue and how to take the issue personally and really, you know, put some urgency behind the message. And I would also have the CAD members do some of the marketing for us. Use them almost like Alejandra uses their outreach workers to get the word out about our project. So that's in retrospect what I would do differently had I another chance to implement this project. But as we go forward, what we're going to do is we're going to engage locally across the country. So we're going to go back to the very roots of this project where it started, and we're going to use our established local communities, our support groups, to have very personal conversations with people they're already connected with, to get the word out about the toolkit, and to get the word out about our comorbidities, and to get the word out about using family health history as a tool for self-management of disease. And with that, I'll take any questions you have, or we can invite Claudia up.